Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. My name's Tina Dobbs. I'm sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Joe Thompson. How are you this morning?
I am doing well this morning. Had a little issue last night with a stomach bug, but I think I'm kind of over that now. So hopefully we'll be fine through this.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them three ways. You can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on, below the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor this morning is Gateway Church. We are better together. If you'd like to be placed on the blessing wheel for the month of May, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done. Our book for this month is Seeing Beyond, Choosing to Look Past the Horizon by Gail McWilliams with a foreword by Zig Ziglar. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
I will. Father, we just want to say thank you for this day that you have given us, another day to live in this beautiful world that you have given us, another day to show and to share your love with people who are around about. Lord, we know there are people who are hurting today, and so I pray that your Spirit will just encourage them to send in their needs to, so that we are able to pray for them and others are able to pray for them. I pray for those who are going through difficult times, Lord, that they will be encouraged to look to you, and also that we might be able to pray for them. Many things going on in our world today, Father, but we know that ultimately you're the one who's in control. And so we give this time into your hands, and we give our lives into your care and keeping. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title today. Whatever happens.
Whatever happens, yeah. Well, we'll see. It's actually, the title comes directly from Scripture, believe it or not. We'll see that here in just a few minutes out of Philippians chapter 1. But we live in a world of uncertainty. I mean, at 1 o'clock this morning, I wasn't certain I was going to make it this morning. I had to change from tomorrow to today because I wound up having a meeting tomorrow and we'll be out of town for it, and then wind up here, you know, in the middle of the night going, I don't feel too good. But we live in a world of uncertainty. We don't know what today holds, much less what tomorrow is really going to hold. You know, a phone call can change your plans for the day for either good or bad. Sickness can change your plans. A blessing can change your plans. When you're on the highway, an accident can upend your day because you're stuck in traffic, or if you happen to be involved in the accident, it can turn your life into chaos.
Right.
Been there on both sides of it, and so I speak that from experience. Think back, you know, 4 years ago. 4 years ago at this time, who would have known that 9 months later we would be huddled in our houses trying to protect ourselves from a microscopic virus that could potentially make us very ill or possibly even kill us.
Right.
You know, we don't know that. 2 years ago, most people did not even know Ukraine existed. And if they knew Ukraine existed, they just realized that it was a country in Eastern Asia, or not Eastern Asia, Eastern Europe there. And now we all know where Ukraine's at. We know what's happening. Daily updates, you know, of what's going on with Russia and the conflict that's going on there. You know, it's so far stayed with Russia and Ukraine, but it has the potential to go beyond the borders to a global affair. We really just don't know what's going to happen. And when you look at it from a world point of view, uncertainty is really the only thing that's certain in our world. We don't know what's going to happen because we don't know what lies ahead. Because we live in a world of uncertainty, however, if you get nothing else, because we live in a world of uncertainty, we must trust in a God who is certain. Mm-hmm. And that's the important thing to remember in life. And Paul understood the uncertainty of this world. He lived in a world where Rome seemed to be in control, yet for the Christian community, there seemed to be a lot of uncertainty, and there was a lot of uncertainty. There was the threat of being persecuted by the Jews because they were not keeping the Jewish laws. Persecution and torture was a constant possibility because of the threat other religions felt that Christians were bringing, that threatened to take control from their followers and have them follow the Christian way. And then, of course, the government saw the Christ followers to be a threat to their control of the people overall. And so all of this had a lot of uncertainty. Well, Paul writes to the Christians at Philippi that whatever happens, we need to stand firm. We need to trust that God is in control. Trust that he's always been in control. He is in control, and he always will be in control. It's when we trust that he is in control, then we can live out our faith in the face of opposition, no matter what comes our way. And let's be honest, here in the United States, we don't really face a whole lot of opposition, not compared to other places in the world. Yeah, we have people that make fun of us. We have people that perhaps do treat us badly, but we don't face opposition like other places do. And so we just need to keep that in mind as well and consider ourselves blessed that way. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, passage of scripture this morning out of Philippians chapter 1, 27 through 30. First two words, verse 27 is actually where I get the title for this lesson. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as the one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So they, Christians there, were being persecuted. Paul was being persecuted. He's saying, whatever happens, hold on. Remain strong. And so let's look at what it means to deal with whatever happens. How do we deal with what happens in our life? Those unexpected events that come our ways, those blessings that come our way. How do we deal with whatever happens in our life? Well, the most important thing for us to deal with whatever's happening in our life is to live a godly life. Mm-hmm. Deal with whatever life gives you in a way that is pleasing to God, a way that will bring glory to God. And don't do like so many people do, and many Christians, and I believe they're Christians, they just haven't matured yet. Many Christians wind up throwing a spiritual temper tantrum. things go south, you know, they're going, why God, why God? And they're complaining, God, why in the world is this happening to me? And like I say, if they're new in the Christian faith, if they're new in their Christian walk, we can kind of understand that. But if you've been a Christian for 10, 15 years and you're still throwing temper tantrums, you need to have a talk between you and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You need to quit saying, Lord, I've served you all my life, and this is what I get for my reward. You know, and no one really is immune to this type of reaction. You know, even mature Christians sometimes can have this reaction just because things have gone wrong day in and day out. They said, had so many things. If you don't believe me, we can see example of that in the Old Testament. Remember a prophet by the name of Elijah?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Elijah is a prophet who says to Ahab, you know, you're not going to have any rain for 3 years, and everything dries up, and Jezebel's a little bit upset with Ahab's wife is a little bit upset because all of this is going on, and so 3 years, a little over 3 years, Elijah calls all the prophets together of Baal and all the other foreign prophets, and they have a contest. Obviously, God wins on that. All those prophets are killed, and Jezebel says, you know, in a few words, just scares the living daylights out of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God did so to me and more. If I don't have your head by tomorrow, is basically what she said. Not exact words, but that's pretty much. And so Jezebel threatens to kill him. He goes off running in the desert. He's under a broom tree, and God's angel finds him, talks to him, and says, what in the world are you doing? He says, I'm the only prophet left. And says, no, there's a lot more prophets left. Just calm down. But Elijah ultimately becomes a prophet, you know, who says we'll come before the Messiah comes. And, of course, that was John the Baptist, and the spirit of Elijah came. And so we look at things, and we oftentimes get discouraged when a lot of things happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're not immune to it, but we should be growing more immune to it as we live our lives. And the way we do that is to live life in a way that pleases God. When things are going well, praise God for his goodness. Use it as a testimony. Celebrate. You know, a lot of people say, man, I've been so lucky. You're not lucky. You're blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You're blessed. And blessing is a proof of God's love. And sometimes we have to look for the little things in life that we find are blessed, because mm-hmm. there are some major things that are going on mm-hmm. in life, you know. And so what's the blessing there? How has God blessed me? And when problems appear, ask God for his mercy and his grace. Mercy is provided to you to give you a way out, and grace is given to you to accept what God's doing in you and through you. And we need to remember that. So we live a godly life dealing with what life gives us. We live life in a godly manner because it proves that our faith is real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most companies that offer a warranty on their product do so after a lot of testing. They put their product through rigorous trials. Well, let's see how it's going to stand up if this person does this to it or they do this to it. And they want to make sure that it's going to stand up in the real world, because if they're putting a warranty on it, they're not wanting to replace it. And so if it stands up to what they think it's going to, they slap a warranty on it for a period of time and say, we believe our product should stand the test of time up to... And real faith is kind of like that. Real faith stands up to the rigorous test of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We find ourselves going through difficulty, and unlike a company's warranty, real faith stands the test of time. It doesn't have a time limit, you know. Your vehicle is going to last 5 years of company may say, or like my pickup, I bought it used. I bought a extended warranty on it, and the extended warranty people are like, we probably shouldn't have offered a standard warranty on that one because I've pretty much recovered my money on that. Nothing was wrong with it when it happened, but just, you know, little things happen. Mm-hmm. And but they say their idea is, you know, yeah, we're going to have to fix some, but we're going to have a bunch we don't fix, them, so we're still going to come out ahead. But real faith stands up to the rigorous test of the world. We know that where you can stand, not because of our strength, but because of the strength of the one that we rely on, and that's Jesus Christ. And we know that we can rely upon him because, I mean, after all, he rose from the dead. That's pretty good guarantee. And then he gave us the Spirit as a seal for our warranty. So we know that we can rely upon him. We are able to overcome difficulty, not on our own, but by the strength of God. And that's really important. And so it's important for us to spend time with God every day so that we're reminded of that and we're strengthened in our walk with God, knowing that no matter what is coming our way, we're not walking through that alone. You know, I think my wife purposely tells me, oh, we need to take my car to go somewhere today so I can put fuel in it. You know, but you can't keep driving your car unless you put fuel in your car. Mm-hmm. And you cannot live for Christ unless you're putting fuel into your life, unless you're spending time with him every day. And living a godly life is evidence that God has changed your life. And so Paul's saying, you know, let your life be lived in such a way that it's evidence that God is really real in your life. Then in verses 27, the last part of verse 27, 28, he's telling us to stand firm together. He says, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. So Paul says, stand firm in the one Spirit. He doesn't say many spirits. He's saying the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who ultimately gives us the ability to stand firm, because he's the one who is with us on a constant basis. He guides us. That's the reason why Jesus said to the disciples, you know, hang around Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. Because he's the one that's going to empower you and enable you to move forward and get through life. Be my witnesses. And so that's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to show us the truth. And truth is the only thing that never changes. Think about that. Truth is truth is truth. No matter what, truth is always going to be truth. Now, people say, well, this is my truth, but you can have your truth, but this is my truth. The truth of the matter is, it's not truth if it does not hold up to whatever has been promised or said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seasons change, people come and go. People have their ideas of what truth is, and they try to twist the truth to fit what they want to do. But truth of God delivered through the Spirit will always remain the same. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot change truth. And that Holy Spirit truth empowers us. We don't have to be scared of those who oppose the truth. A lot of times we have a tendency to, you know, run away and scream and holler about those who oppose the truth. We see the lifestyles of people who are opposing the truth, and they're saying, this is my truth. I'll do it my way, but truth, as we've already said, does not change. It's only what God says is true that is really true. And so we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us into what that truth is. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And truth is from God is opposed because people don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. They want to live their own lifestyle. They want to do what they want to do. And then they attack us. And one of the things that we have a tendency to do when we're attacked is we want to attack back. Mm-hmm. But what we need to realize is rather than being upset and attacking back, we just continue to share the truth. Because as we've already established, truth is truth. It doesn't change. As long as you're sharing the truth, not everybody's going to listen to it. Not everybody's going to accept it. But just keep sharing the truth. Keep sharing the truth. Keep sharing the truth. And learn to do it in a loving way. You know, one of the biggest problems we have, in my opinion, is we want to attack people where they're at rather than show them the truth. And so we just got to keep showing them the truth and living out the truth and letting our lives show them what the real truth is. And standing together in truth proves that God is with us. Mm-hmm. People think, well, we'll cave to opposition, but if you have the truth, why do you want anything else? It shows that no matter what, we're going to stand for what is right. And, you know, it's difficult when you're being attacked. It's difficult when people are yelling. But I've said it before on here. I've said it, I don't know how many times, from the pulpit. The first person to raise their voice in an argument loses the argument, whether even if they're right. Mm-hmm. Because the people quit listening. Mm-hmm. And so we need to calmly share the truth. We need to talk about the truth. We need to show them the truth. And we need to stand together in doing that. And standing firm together actually shows our complete trust in God. And that's where we lack sometimes is somebody has a little bit different interpretation of the Bible than we do, and so we attack that. And now I'm not talking about being heretical, but you know, there's places in the Bible where you can look at things and, mm-hmm. from a different point of view. As long as they're preaching basically what God's truth is, we need to join together, mm-hmm. and share it. And that's what Paul's saying. You know, keep preaching the truth. And then he says that we should embrace difficulty with certainty. Verses 29 and 30, he says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." Wow. It's been granted to believe, but also suffer? "Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have." And difficulty is being part of being a Christ follower. Difficulty is part of living life, period. But mm-hmm. when you're living for Christ, when you're a Christ follower, it can be even more difficult because we do suffer persecution from time to time. Paul points out that we have the privilege to be that follower, to believe in Christ, and the fact that Christ did deliver us from death into eternal life. And not only has he given us eternal life for what was sure death, but he has given us meaning for life. Mm-hmm. And that's something we often miss. We live a life of meaning in the here and now. He points out their struggles in life. He knows that people will oppose our lifestyle. We see that all the time in our world. Not as much here in our country as other countries. You know, mm-hmm. you take China, some of the Muslim countries. some of those places, it's extremely difficult to live the Christian life. But guess where Christianity is growing the fastest?
Under persecution.
Yep, exactly. And we're going to be trying to be silenced by those who are against us. Things may get worse here for us. You know, that's what seems to be pointing. But our call is to remain strong no matter what. And we need to make sure that we are. And when we find that we're being opposed, it means we're making a difference. You know, if we weren't making a difference, people wouldn't care at all. They go, you do your own thing, I'll do my own thing. You're fine. But when you're making a difference and you're turning people's lives around, then people oppose you. And if you're not opposed for your way of living, then maybe you need to do a checkup on how you're living. You know, opposition comes because people don't want to change. And they become defensive when their lifestyle is questioned. And they attack us for what we believe. But again, coming back to the idea, our task is not to fight back, but to love them with the love of God. I'm not saying we don't stand up for what we believe, but it's more important for us to love with the love of God than it is to scream and holler and yell. And when people feel attacked, they will become more defensive, which we already talked about. But when we love them and just be their friends and show Christ's love to them, they're more likely to hear what we're saying. Mm-hmm. And we don't downplay sin, but we lift up the fact that God's love is greater than our sin. And so we need to embrace difficulty because it means we're making a difference. I think that's probably a good place to take a break if we got some prayer requests to go.